like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. First, huge thanks to all who attended, organized, or participated in any way in Tropical Heatwave. Fabulous event. Bravo to all. And my guest today on Talking Animals is Darlene Arden, author of several books on pets and a recognized authority on toy dogs and their care. She's also a certified animal behavior consultant who today will discuss medical marijuana for pets. Against a backdrop where medical marijuana is now legal in 23 states, it may be unsurprising, maybe even inevitable, that there's a growing line of so-called pot-for-pet products. These include biscuits, capsules, and other edible items containing cannabis compounds that can be used by ailing and elderly animals as natural pain relievers and anti-inflammatory supplements. Find out more about all this when I speak with Darlene Arden in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Also later in the show, I'll speak briefly with Andrea Seislek of Pasco County Animal Services about their Woofstock event being held this Saturday in Lando Lakes. Meanwhile, for our opening animal song this morning, we'll hear a new eel song. Well, actually, it's a new version of an old eel song. What? Me playing eels music? Yes, shocking but true. The band just released Royal Albert Hall, a new concert film and live album recorded at that venue. One of the many wonderful things about eels is they tend to reinvent songs live, and sometimes they reinvent songs from concert to concert. So get a load of this version of I Like Birds. It's eels now on Talking Animals. Eels live from the new Royal Albert Hall collection with I Like Birds. Let's move now into my conversation with Darlene Arden about medical marijuana for pets, with a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Darlene Arden back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning, Darlene. Duncan. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for joining us on Talk Animals. Long-time listeners, really long-time listeners, may recall you were on the show more than a decade ago. And
yes,
I might be the only person that's listened to all those shows at that time. But so for the benefit of those listening today that weren't listening then, let's get a bit reacquainted. Maybe you could talk about some of the books you've written over your many, many years as an author.
Okay. Well, I've written everything from my original book, The Irrepressible Toy Dog, which I've then updated, expanded, and revised and retitled to Small Dogs, Big Heart. For anyone with a dog 21 pounds and under, if it fits under the seat of a plane, it's good to go with this book. Everything you possibly need to know, because these little dogs look at the world from a different vantage point. I've written The Complete Cat's Meow. Everything you need to know about cats. You know, cat owners don't have a whole lot of reference books to choose from, and I poured everything into this. I'm a certified animal behavior consultant, and everything from how to raise and train a kitten, whether you're getting a new kitten or you're volunteering at a shelter, everybody needs a good start to medical problems, to behavior, and yes, cat training. You can train a cat.
Indeed.
I've written the Angel Memorial Animal Hospital Book of Wellness and Preventive Care for Dogs. I have a behavior book for dog owners called Rover, Get Off Her Leg. There was another book for shopping, all kinds of things you can buy, but I also tend to include that in the back of virtually all of my book and reference material, places I trust. If you're going online and you're searching out information, you can get the right information or you can get the wrong information. Depends upon where you're looking. The World Wide Web is a huge place.
That's for sure, and sometimes it needs a little tour guide to navigate through some of the information that's brimming. So, a lot of books, and of course, in addition to all those books, you've written just an enormous number of articles and columns. And as you noted in your description a moment ago, you're also a certified animal behavior consultant. What does that mean exactly?
That means that I have studied, I've kept up with my education, I have continuing education credits, I've had to pass tests. I mean, anybody can call themselves a behaviorist in this country. Can't in the UK. I could stand in my garage all day, but that wouldn't make me a car. I can't say I'm a car. I stand in the garage. I've actually done the work. I'm certified for both dogs and cats. And to me, it's important to know what you're doing, to use the latest science-based information, to use the gentlest possible method, to be positive. You get better results like that. I like the scientific-based. I mean, there are people using 60-year-old dog training methods, and that does nothing for the human-animal bond. You may get a result, but it won't last, and it will backlash on you. And then you're going looking for someone like me to fix it.
You can sort of forestall that sort of thing if people, I guess, would seek out your expertise. Or again, that's the lace throughout, obviously, many of your books and columns.
I have a table talk cat book called, coffee table book called Beautiful Cat, but that's a whole other story.
Okay. This is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Darlene Arden, an author, a pet expert, certified animal behavior consultant. And shortly, we'll be discussing medical marijuana for pets. If you'd like to ask Darlene a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj at wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Well, I would assume then all sort of the training that you did undergo for to become a certified animal behavior consultant and just all your experience probably ties into sort of what we're here really mainly to talk about today. How did you first become interested in medical marijuana for pets?
My mother had cancer, and nothing was available. Fortunately, she didn't get really nauseated from chemo. It was, you know, dosed for her size and age, and I would see people when I would take her in for her chemotherapy, and they were so sick. They looked like the walking dead. And I knew there had to be some kind of help, but they certainly weren't getting it. And chemo, if you read up about it, is poison. It kills the good cells with the bad. And if other than radiation, which isn't good for every kind of cancer, that seems to be what they're using. I'm one of those people who doesn't think there'll ever be a cure for cancer if you follow the money trail. There's too much money to be made in it. And I started hearing about a young veterinarian in California. I always have my ear to the ground, Duncan. And he had tried everything with his own dog with cancer. And finally, he began giving it a little bit of medical marijuana. And son of a gun, the dog felt better. And he was careful about dosage. One drop to every 10 pounds of body weight. And some cheese. If you say to a dog, do you want some cheese? The dog's usually going to say, yes, please. This is a good idea. So it was very easy to dose the animal. He was doing this off-label. It's not approved for animals. It's approved for humans in California. And he would use the tincture rather than use, you know, you don't want them getting into cookies and brownies and weed itself. So he never had that lying around the house. He started to branch out with clients whose dogs were in a similar position. And that worked. Once he said yes, it was great. And I've heard of other people in other pockets in the country. Since it's illegal to write the prescription, they will very often, they do it off-label, and they're kind of risking their license to do it. But where I live in Massachusetts, while it's legal, you can't get it. They're just starting to talk about opening dispensaries, which they were supposed to have in place a year ago. So if you're really sick and you're nauseated, tough luck. Also, with dogs, it helps with things like very arthritic elderly dogs can't get up to go outside the way they used to. And if you have something like a Newfoundland, you have to get a sling apparatus to haul the dog outside so he can go out and do what he needs to do. Now, after the medical marijuana, they're running outside. They're like puppies again.
There's certainly been a lot of largely anecdotal kind of evidence of the impact this can have, and certainly the example you gave and some of the things I did in researching this show, it talked about there were certainly a number of cases where dogs that were in chronic pain, and in one case at least, sort of right on the cusp, I think, of their human saying, you know, it's time to euthanize this dog. And then they tried some cannabis compound treats, and the dog really responded, and they gave one or two more, and pretty soon the dog was up and around and going outside for the first time. But it's, as you've kind of noted, one of the things that's very tricky right now is that it's a new field. It's treading a very gray, legal, if not ethical, area, because vets can't prescribe anything like that.
And even frankly, the doctors can't even prescribe it unless you're in California or Colorado. It may be legal, but you can't get it. So there's a catch-22 for the patient.
Right, but at least in those, you know, some 23 states or so, medical marijuana is legal. Yeah, accessibility is a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like with the animals, the tricky part is that it's not really legal, that the FDA is watching closely for some of the companies that have gotten into this with treats and cookies and other things that have some form of cannabis. And they tend to have, sounds like hemp more than THC, which
exactly
makes sense. But there's even a lot of questions apparently about that in terms of what sort of...
Well, they confiscated that from a store in Florida. The police just walked in and confiscated all of... And I don't know what they're trying to prove. I understand that studies need to be done. Veterinarians do not want to give something without study. However, there is a catch-22. All of these animals are sick. How can you let that continue? And so many of our own drugs are plant-based, and you're looking at a plant. And one of the major complaints the veterinarians have, and they brought to AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, is that dogs and cats have OD'd on their owner's marijuana. Well, that's something that needs to be taught. First of all, it's a drug like any other. Why are they leaving it out for their pets and their children to get? They can die if they overdose. You need to get them to the vet in time and the child into the hospital. So first of all, it should not be lying around. It needs to be treated like any other drug and put into a locked medical closet, you know, your little bathroom drug closet, whatever you have. It needs to be kept away from the animal and brought out like any other prescription medication and given to them in the proper dose. I have never heard of a dog or cat getting into the tincture. They get into the other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's brownies, it's cookies, it's weed. eat itself, and they're overdosing on it. Well, why is that even accessible?
Yeah, that gets into some other issues too, because other than being somebody being careless with their own weed, I guess, that would never be something that you would really want to have that animal have access to in that form anyway. So,
well, exactly. And the other thing is, I know someone recently is told about an RN whose teenage daughter left a bottle of Tylenol on her bed. Their very curious 3-year-old dog got into it, was bleeding out from every orifice, and ultimately died. They could not, the vet couldn't do anything at that point. So you have to be careful with a lot of things. We're not just talking about, oh, be careful with marijuana. Oh my gosh, this is awful. You're talking about Tylenol, which people don't even think twice about.
Yeah, although obviously our focus today is the medical marijuana for pets.
The point I'm making is it's not the only thing that can kill your dog.
Right. But even within the realm of what we are discussing today, it just seems like there, and again, it's probably because it's just sort of on the cusp of a field that's really finding its way, because there are companies that do manufacture treats. And some of those, at least one of those companies, I believe, was launched by one or even two vets, certainly a couple, and I think one or both of them were vets.
Yeah,
but it's very tricky, because again, they can't really be or shouldn't be made from marijuana itself, because you really don't want the THC in there. So they're more made from hemp. But then it sounds like in some cases they found that some of these manufacturers are using industrial grade hemp, which,
and that's a problem.
Yeah, so it's,
you can't cut corners with this, and with the government watching, you can't even get it in most places where it's legal, because the government has come down, I believe in Massachusetts first, and said to the doctors, yes, it's legal, but if you write a prescription, you could lose your license.
Yeah, so it seems to me, right now at least, the vets are taking sort of a wait-and-see attitude. So people, the people with ailing and chronically, animals in chronic pain or other infirmities that want to try this are going to directly to get the treats, and even the treats and other things that these animals can eat, they have to be very careful about the marketing on their websites and other things, because the FDA clearly is watching very, very closely and issuing warnings. So it's very complex. Let's take a call or two to get involved in this conversation. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Darlene Arden.
Yes, thank you so much. And you just mentioned something that about the industrial hemp problem. When I was hearing your discussion, I Googled and found this great website. Apparently it's for marijuana growers, and they have a very comprehensive article on the ethics and efficacy of using cannabis with animals. And part of it is, you know, there's some stoners who will blow smoke into their dogs or cats' faces, thus getting them high and totally freaking them out, because animals can't process intoxication the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely correct. There's commercial products, one's called Canapet, where they just take the lowest grade industrial cannabis and try to extract one of the medical compounds called cannabidiol, CBD, which is very prevalent in Charlotte's Web marijuana and is known to be anti-spasm, anti-pain, anti-inflammatory. But their products are garbage, and they're a waste of money, and in some cases harmful. The other thing is THC, which gets you high, is anti-tumor and has many of the same medical effects, if not more, than CBD. So when people try to market so-called legal pet or medical marijuana products that contain only CBD, they're not helping anybody. On the other hand, as the article points out, if you attempt to administer whole marijuana, in edible form, tincture form, or by blowing smoke in the face of an animal, you can create serious problems for the animal that is suddenly finding its consciousness changed, and it doesn't know that it just got high, and it can cause lots of problems. So at this point, I would not recommend to anyone to use medical marijuana with their pets unless, and the article points this out, unless it's a terminal phase where the animal is suffering so much that whatever negative, disorienting, or other effects of the marijuana, the whole marijuana that's being administered, it really doesn't make a difference at that point because the animal is so far gone.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comment. Sounds like you studied this and know this world well. So thank you very much for your insights.
Thanks for your great show. It's a fantastic show.
Thanks a lot. On a related note, I mean, where it gets tricky in yet another way is that I think a lot of the companies that are making these sort of pet products with cannabis-derived things are, again, forced to sort of go the hemp route, because I think the government would classify anything with more direct marijuana in it as a Schedule One substance, which then are drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. So again, you get into a problem that way. So
it's
Darlene,
a problem for people as well as pets. I mean, you know, how do you let anybody suffer? And he spoke well. Carlos spoke well about the amount. When the original, that Doug Kramer, I think his name was, in California, chose a dose for his dog, it was one drop of the liquid cannabis for every 10 pounds of body weight in a piece of cheese. So that's not ODing. That's very conservative.
Dovetailing in a way with the last comment our caller made is, again, having read up about this quite a bit in preparation for our conversation today, there are a number of instances where animals that may or may not have been terminal, but were certainly in chronic pain, were helped by this.
Exactly.
And the one thing that you can at least say is that with animals, I think it's safe to say there's no placebo effect. So if that animal is genuinely feeling better and being more active when otherwise it's been kind of laying around and inactive, maybe seeming depressed, et cetera, it's hard to sort of begrudge that, but I also think that's an animal that's clearly sort of in the last phase of its life anyway, which sort of speaks to what our caller was saying at the end there. So
that's true. But on the other hand, there are other things like arthritis and other illnesses where they can make a difference. If you have a Newfoundland and you want to take him out and he can no longer get up off his pillow and walk out and you're using a sling apparatus, that can be a real problem for both the owner and the pet, because there are a lot of people who aren't big enough to haul a dog that huge. And when they're running around like puppy after a very small dose, that's helpful. They've got some quality of life. The studies clearly need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, why are we letting anyone suffer? I don't care if they have two legs or four. That shouldn't be. We need to get some stuff done. We need to allow this be the drug that it is. The classification bothers me. I mean, it seems to me that what they're saying is, because some people abuse this, we're not going to let sick people or animals have it. And I don't understand what's fair about that.
Yeah. Well, and then again, I think there's, I think because we're just so early into this and there's so much that's unknown and so much that's gray legally and from an FDA standpoint, I mean, there's at least one or more companies that make now marijuana related products for humans, and has started, I think at least one that I read about had started a line for pets, but they actually don't market those products because, again, they feel like they're in a weird, uncertain gray legal area. And so I guess that if you knew enough to track them down and seek out their products, you could buy their products. But I think their position is they're protecting themselves from any sort of direct marketing that could later lead to an FDA or other issue.
Oh, absolutely. And it's put everybody in a bad position. Hopefully they'll start to do some tests, but I hope they allow this to be used off-label. I don't want to see anyone suffer.
Well, no, I don't.
While they're doing the study, let's let enough animals in so they're not, you know, they're not all suffering. If you've seen an animal who is in that bad shape, who could be helped and have quality of life, I see no reason to put it down or bluntly to kill it. Like, gee, are we killing grandma?
No, I think those cases are a little more clear-cut. We've got one emailer here that says, industrial hemp canapet, I feel poisoned my pet. So there's a different point of view. There's another caller here that we should probably get involved in the conversation.
I worry a lot about the industrial hemp. I really worry about that.
Yeah, well, that's clearly a problem and needs to, I think, to be addressed, because otherwise the quality of what those animals are getting is suspect.
Exactly. If you can't give your pet a quality drug, then you shouldn't. I don't care what it's for. It could be any other drug. It better be quality.
So, caller, hi, you're on Talking Animals with Darlene Arden.
Hi. I'm on the other side of the coin. I've been giving my dog Canipet since she was doing really poorly after a couple of surgeries. She's 15. She had to have an eye removed, and she had to have a large tooth removed. And she was doing so poorly, she wouldn't eat anything, so it was impossible to pill her. I couldn't get any medicine in her. And every pharmaceutical that we did manage to get down her gave her a violent reaction.
Mm-hmm.
She OD'd on the injections that they told me to give her and nearly died. And I got her on Canipet. She's like a puppy again. She's jumping up and down. She's eating like crazy. She's completely recovered. It's like I have my 3 or 4 year old dog back. and I'm not giving her anything else. And a friend of mine recommended it because her dog got through having a leg removed because of cancer, and she only used Canipet. So, and, you know, it can't be a placebo effect, like
mm-hmm.
you said.
Yeah.
No, it's not a placebo effect, right?
So, you know, I'm not saying that I know anything about the science of it. I just know it works. And that's
what you want in the bottom line, is for somebody to allow you to use something that is going to have some effect.
Right, and I know that, you know, you just said there's some concern about the industrialized hemp, but I was basically looking at putting her down because of nothing working and all the money I spent, and do I want to spend another $1,500 on these other tests and all this other, and nothing was working. None of the medicine were working. So I didn't have anything to lose.
No, those medications have side effects.
Well, and, you know, so can marijuana have side effects.
Right, exactly. But we're not talking about the difference between no side effect and, oh, my gosh, I'm giving marijuana.
But my dog nearly died from the injection. They gave her pain medicine, and it nearly killed her. And, frankly, I gave her a little bit of a cookie, and it made her very happy. So I went online and got the Canipet, and I sprinkle it on her food every day, and she eats like a champ, and she's gained back 30% of her body weight.
That's great.
Well, that is great. So, that is a clear success story. And like I say, right now, I think all we really have is sort of the anecdotal evidence,
right.
And yours is squarely in the pro camp. So that's
but
great.
But if you're at the edge where you're thinking you're going to put her down anyway, it's worth $1 a day. It's $1 a day. $2 if it's a large dog. $4 if they need a double dose.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I'm just saying it works for people. It works for humans. And they ought to do something where it is the medical marijuana that should be available so that you do have a pure form, something you can trust. I wish we could get our act together.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much for your comment and your story about your dog. And I'm so happy about your dog. That's great.
That is fabulous.
Thanks.
I mean, I love that. I've heard of others. I've talked to people who have given their dogs their own medical marijuana because they were desperate. And that, unfortunately, is, you know, playing Russian roulette because you don't know how much to give. And they're using other forms that they themselves are using. But it's made a difference in their pets.
Yeah, that seems very tricky to me. That's not that far from the story, kind of the scene you were describing earlier, where somebody just leaves their weed out and the animal gets to it.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah, I think either these need to be the carefully manufactured products, or to the extent you can get your vet to consult on it. And again, they're navigating a very blurry line themselves in doing so. But
they
I'm
are.
Sure some
and
would.
There are some doing it. You really have to search for them because they're risking their license, but they believe in first do no harm, and I see more of that from veterinarians than I do from medical doctors, frankly.
Okay. Well, we're sort of in the home stretch of our time here, but let's try to take at least one or two more calls. Hi,
great.
You're on Talking Animals with Darlene Arden. Hello, it's you. Okay. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Darlene Arden. Hello.
Hello.
Oh. Hi, you're on with Darlene. It's you. Go ahead. Did you have a question or comment? Oh, I guess not either. Okay. Well, that's fine. Have you, with the various animals that you live with, have you had much direct experience with these kinds of products?
No, not yet. And I'm looking at a 15-and-a-half-year-old cat who's becoming arthritic. And because she only weighs 9 pounds, I wouldn't even know how to divide a drop in order to give that to her when the time comes and if I could get my hands on it. So I'm looking for the veterinarian to get some really solid research in and find out how we deal with it with smaller animals. Would I hesitate? No. I just want to know what's an accurate dose. I don't want to make her sick. That's not the point.
Well, I think sort of a key running theme of this whole discussion and exchange is that specifically in your case or just generally, we all need more information, and it's coming, but it's coming slowly. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Darlene Arden.
Hi, yes. I was just wanting to mention something that's really not covered very well. I know you guys are talking about specific medications and whatnot and natural cannabis therapies, but, you know, one thing that's sort of coming through the pipeline now is, you know, we can all agree that some of the same things that make animals sick are some of the same things that make humans sick. And I know in the past they talked about commercial dog foods and vaccines and side effects from these things, but one hopefully promising area of research is the changing of circadian biology as it pertains to pets and their exposure to, say, indoor pets, outdoor pets. They get all this artificial light at night and actually throws off their hormones and their circadian biology. We can talk about medicines and how to correct the problems as they are now, but when we talk about the root of the illnesses of some of these animals and humans, frankly, circadian biology is one very under-studied area, but it's hopefully coming through the pipeline. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. So, Darlene, we have, not surprisingly, a number of other emails and things. We're sort of running short on time. But let's, maybe we should mention at least one of our emailers, and I was going to get into this also. What are the product or products that are on the market? I mean, we've sort of had one or more of our callers talk about those. Are there, without getting any sort of endorsing or anything about cost or
right,
anything, what are the sort of brand names that people should be looking for?
That person mentioned is the one I hear most often. I'm not paying too much attention to brand names on the hemp products because I just don't know how they're being manufactured. I don't know who's using the industrial strength. So I have kind of veered away from that. I'm on a wait and see. I want that stuff checked out and regulated so that we know what our pets are getting.
All right. Well, in answering the question, I think some of the products that at least I've seen in my research are Canipet and also CanaCompanion. So, and we've got others writing in with links.
And there has been a store that laid it in Florida, and the police came in and confiscated all of it. You know, it's such a gray area right now.
Yeah, it truly is. And we got one texter saying, I don't know many folks leaving that weed laying about. Well, that's great, but I think we all know people who do. So, yeah.
That person's not living in Colorado because that's where the complaints are coming from.
Yeah. All right. Well, Darlene, I really appreciate your time. I mean, it's, again, there's so much more to discuss. And more to the point, there will be more to discuss. There's just a lot more research and information that is going to be accumulated. And certainly my research has sounded like there are official studies being launched that then will give yes,
there was a
exactly.
Veterinarian who wanted to do it 10 years ago at North Carolina, and he thought it was too soon. Gee, I wish he'd started it then.
Well, so again, we've been speaking with Darlene Arden, and her website for all kinds of information, all her books and speaking engagements and other things is Darlene, D-A-R-L-E-N-E, of course, Arden, A-R-D-E-N .com. Darlene, thanks so much for joining us again on Talking Animals. I appreciate it speaking
with
you.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you.
Pleasure being with you.
Thanks. In a moment, I'll speak with Andrea Seisluck of Pasco County Animal Services about their Woofstock event this Saturday. Just now, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. My Comedy Corner addiction to Joe Zimmerman continues unabated. It's hard not to play animal comedy by him every single week. And I have played a lot of Zimmerman lately, but I haven't played this piece since July, and it's another one of my favorites. This is Joe Zimmerman with a piece called Animal Attacks on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
Animal attacks are confusing because everywhere you travel, there's a different attack technique. I was down in Florida, they were like, alligator attack, just running a zigzag. Everybody knows that. I didn't know that. Is that true? Because aren't alligators' eyes on the sides of their head? Wouldn't they see you when you're zigging and zagging? Like, there he is. Got him. Okay, he's back. Good thing he's not sprinting straight ahead. That'd be my blind spot. I'm going straight ahead. I know some attacks, like I know shark attack, put it in a headlock, drag it onto land. I know that one. Stupid shark. Can't even breathe. What a dumb shark. I've always heard if you see a wolf in the wild, you're not supposed to smile, takes the teeth as a sign of aggression. Yeah, I don't know who sees a wolf in the wild and goes, it's a pack of wolves, wave. They're smiling back at us. I hope they come play. And there's something called an alligator snapping turtle that can be up to 300 pounds, very aggressive if you're ever attacked. They say to hold its head underwater because it has a weak neck. Maybe. But if I'm ever attacked by a 300-pound turtle, I feel like my first move is to walk away. Right? I think step two with the turtle is if it chases, you're going to want to keep walking. Just don't take a nap. Oh, turtles hate naps. Little Aesop's Fable humor, get things going.
That was Joe Zimmerman with a piece called Animal Attacks, taken from his album Smiling with Wolves. And a heads up, he'll be performing in Tampa May 21st to 24th at Side Splitters. If I lived over here, I'd go at least to one of the shows. He's terrific, and he has a lot of great material that's not about animals, too. Right now, from Pasco County Animal Services, to tell us about their Woofstock event taking place this Saturday, let's welcome Andrea Seisluck to Talking Animals. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first, maybe just give us the quick sort of nickel tour of what Pasco County Animal Services is and does.
Well, we are the only county-run shelter in the area, so we service all of Pasco County. We take in all of the stray dogs and adopt them out. Right now, we've just become a Save 90 shelter in the past couple of years, and we've been hitting our goal.
And maybe you could just quickly describe what that means.
That means that we try to save at least 90% of the animals that come into the shelter.
An admirable goal and a tough one to meet, but great for getting even close.
Yep. And we've actually been doing a really good job. And that's why we were putting on Woofstock for the medical fund.
Cool. Well, then, yeah, this leads us right in. So what is Woofstock, and what does it mean to Pasco County Animal Services in the thing you just referred to about the medical fund?
Well, Friends of Animal Services, they're our group. They raise money and do fundraisers for us. They are actually hosting the event up at Florida State Winery. And what it is a bunch of bands. We've got five of them that are coming together to play for us and for all of the crowd. We've got vendors. We've got pony rides, a lot of stuff to try to help us raise money to benefit a medical fund. And this medical fund will help us with all of the sick and injured cats and dogs that come into the shelter.
That's great.
So that we can continue our Save 90 initiative.
Sure. So that'll just help with further spay, neuter, and other medical procedures that these animals that arrive at the shelter require.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Woofstock obviously plays on Woodstock, so bands must be central to this. Can you tell us a little bit about the music that'll be on hand this Saturday?
We've got all types of music. We've got country, we've got a little bit of rock. We've got two new upcoming bands, Skilter and WD Hand. WD Hand has been touring a little bit. Skilter is new and up and coming, and they both write and perform their own music. We have Ashley Smith, who is wonderful. She sings a little bit of everything. She's That Dude, which is a very fun band, and they sing a lot of things to get the crowd up and moving. I have one of our volunteers and her husband. They go around and they do parties and weddings. They're called Kaleidoscope, and they're a lot of fun, too. So they sing a little bit of everything.
So it sounds like five different bands over the course of the day.
Yep.
That's great. So, and again, that's this Saturday, May 9th,
right.
And at the Florida State Winery in Land O' Lakes.
$5.
Okay, we can't talk about the prices, sorry.
Sorry.
But if for people who do want to find out more, you can go to what, fpcas.org?
Yes, www.fpcas.org.
And is there,
that is our friends.
And is there a Facebook page, either generally for the county services or for this event?
Yep, Pasco County has their own Facebook page, and we do have Woofstock on there. And that is www.facebook.com/PCASAP.
Great. All right, Andrew, well, good luck Saturday. It sounds like it's going to be a great time for all.
I hope so.
All right, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity. Now rolling into the noon hour constitutes a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more. Meanwhile, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering a copy of John Katz's book, The Second Chance Dog. We'll get to that in a moment here on Talk Animals. Right now, it's time for animal news and announcements. Going to hit some other events coming up. Seems like the next few days bring various animal-related events, including as soon as tomorrow, the Humane Society of Pinellas will be bringing us the 5th Annual Happy Tales Mix and Mingle event. That's tomorrow, Thursday, May 7th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Ozona Blue Grilling Company, Palm Harbor. And there'll be fine food on the water, silent auction, entertainment, etc. 100% of the ticket sales benefit the Humane Society of Pinellas. You can go to humanesocietyofpinellas.org to find out more about that. Coming up this Saturday, it's the 8th Annual Fabulous Spaghetti and No Balls Dinner and Silent Auction. Yes, that's what it's called, because it's for the spay-neuter medical clinic of the Animal Coalition of Tampa. So that'll be, again, this Saturday the 9th at 6 p.m., Yuengling Brewery in Tampa, and all kinds of cool things happening that night as well. And you can go to actampa.org, find out all the details. Also coming up on the 9th, busy couple of days, busy weekend, Pet Pal Animal Shelter. We'll be holding their 13th annual Puppy Love Benefit from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Historic Coliseum in St. Petersburg. The Uncorked evening will include dinner, silent and live auctions, 50-50 raffle, live music. Even they promise adorable puppies pimping sloppy kisses. Come on, how can you resist that? Go to petpalanimalshelter.com for more information. That again is this Saturday as well from 6 to 10 p.m. in St. Petersburg. And looking ahead a little bit, next, the following Saturday, Saturday, May 16th, there'll be a community pet fair at the Holy Spirit Auxiliary Catholic Church in Safety Harbor. And that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be pet vendors, rescue groups, groomers, gift baskets, raffled, the blessing of the animals, photos of pets with their humans, refreshments, etc. So you can find out more about that if you want to contact the Holy Spirit Catholic Church at 813-507-8977. And a story I meant to get to the last couple weeks is, as I'm sure you know, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission gave approval to rules for conducting a black bear hunt in four areas of the state, following a 20-year closure of that rule. One of the things I read when somebody commenting on this is that was sort of in favor of it, saying people are traveling to Florida to, quote-unquote, harvest a bear. Harvest a bear. And a much happier note, saw this a few different places on the internet. The headline is, 90-year-old tortoise whose legs were eaten by rats gets prosthetic wheels and goes twice as fast. So this comes from Wales. But when rats ate the front legs of a hibernating 9-year-old tortoise named Mrs. T in Pembroke, Wales, its owners, Jude Ryder, feared the worst. Gigantic vet bill did little to improve the situation until Ryder's mechanical engineer, son Dale, glued wheels from a model aircraft onto the tortoise's shell, making her twice as fast. Dale had received Mrs. T as a gift when he was 8, and she was already in her 60s. Good for Mrs. T, and good for Dale, and good for everybody. And if you find that, if you look for that picture on the internet, it's quite a sight. Mrs. T wheeling around, and seems like at least as good as new, perhaps. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. This is a giveaway. Please only participate if you haven't won something from WNF in the last 90 days. There'll be a prize, a copy of John Katz's book, The Second Chance Dog, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song, one that the fabulous Ricky Wilcox and the Moon Snakes covered at the end of their blazing heatwave set Saturday night at New World Brewery. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. If we didn't give it away before then, we might have just then. Well, let's see if we'll take one of these on the air. We'll be able to take them off the air. Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name an animal tune? You're on the air live.
Yes, Fox on the Run.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know the band just by bonus points?
Sweet.
That's correct. Fox on the Run by Sweet. Ricky Wilcox and the Moonsnakes did an amazing version on that Saturday night at New World Brewery. What is your first name, sir?
It's Gregory.
Gregory? Okay, cool. Congratulations. I'm going to come back and get your information and send you off a copy of John Katz's book, The Second Chance Dog. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So this is the end of today's edition, or virtually, of Talking Animals. Rob Laura is up next with what amounts to 2 hours of radioactivity. I'll be back next Wednesday, May 13th, when my guest will be Gene Bauer, president and co-founder of The Farm Sanctuary, a farm animal rescue operation he started in 1986, and author of Living the Farm Sanctuary Life. He'll be appearing in Tampa at the Oxford Exchange a few days later on May 17th. Hope you'll join me for my conversation with Gene Bauer next Wednesday. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our newsletter. Find out about our guests a couple days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers everywhere. This is WMNF Tampa Community Conscious Radio. Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Thanks for listening. Catch you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks.